Are you a good listener? Are you a good listener? Some studies suggest that we only take in about 10% of what we hear. So that means it's going to require a lot of repeating until we actually get the full content of the message, right? You see, some studies suggest that we only get 10% of what we hear. Does that sound familiar? Are you a good listener? Here's a challenge for you. Turn to somebody next to you, probably somebody you know, and tell them, I'm a good listener. Go ahead, do that. Tell them, I am a good listener. I hear a lot of laughter. A lot of shaking of heads. I don't know, online, what's going on? Are you a good listener? Well, I'm going to challenge you today to be a careful listener. Listen carefully, because it's crucial to everything that we are as followers of Jesus. In fact, it's the primary refrain that Jesus uses over and over again in the Gospel of Mark when he's teaching. He says, if you have ears to hear, then listen to what I'm saying. Which clarifies for us that as a Jesus follower, we have a personal responsibility for our spiritual maturity or lack of it. We have a responsibility to listen carefully. And that matters because our spiritual life, it's either growing and maturing or it is dying. There's no stationary point. It's either growing or it's dying. Now, I don't like to hear that necessarily because there are times when I just want to take a break, right? I just want to sit back. I want to rest. I don't want to always be pushing myself to be more and more something like Jesus. But Jesus even says when we come away to a quiet place and get some rest, it's a time to be with him. It's a time to rest and stop and grow with him. So from a Christian worldview, it's not just our spiritual life that we're talking about, but our whole life that is in view here. It's our physical life, our emotional, mental, material life, as well as the spiritual life. You see, it's all wrapped up together. And it's an integrated life. It's a whole life. We can't just segregate our soul and our body. We are one in Christ. Jesus came as the living, breathing, flesh, Son of God, full of life. And we are called to live and be like Jesus. So our lack of maturity in any part of our life actually affects all the other parts as well. Especially, we see that in our relationships. So how do you interact with your spouse? How you interact? How you get along with your classmates? How you get along with the people at work or serve or the people that you live with? It's all impacted by our spiritual maturity. That's a pretty important insight. For example, whatever age you are, other people push our buttons, right? Human beings, they tend to have a way of pushing our buttons. So when a brother or sister or friend at work pushes your button, irritates you to the point where you want to retaliate, your spiritual maturity in that moment is really going to help you master how you respond to that person. So the more mature you are, the more appropriate your response will be emotionally, physically, and in a way that preserves your relationships and helps build it up. So that's our spiritual maturity actually affects how we get along. It helps us to build our relationships instead of respond in ways that tear them down. And it allows us either to remain in harmony or at least to continue to build on it, at least as much as it depends on us. So maturity is all about living the best life we can as human beings in the circumstances we find ourselves, sometimes even circumstances beyond our control. How can we live the best life we can in those circumstances? That kind of human flourishing is a specific kind of maturity. It is a spiritual, Christ-centered maturity. And the alternative to that is a life of immaturity, a life of non-flourishing. So in life, there just doesn't seem to be a stationary point, at least not for long. So I think of it like this bullet carnival ride. You know, I used to ride those. It looks like a bullet. You know, there's one on each end on this long pole, and it spins around. You know, you get in there either front or backwards, and it starts out, and it moves a little bit up, and then it stops for a moment, and then it starts to swing back down, and it goes up to the other side just for a moment, and it stops. But then it goes again and a little higher on the other side and gets a little more, and your stomach starts to go, ooh, this is a lot of fun, and then it stops on the other side until all of a sudden that motion is strong enough so it gets all the way to the top, and then it stops. And there you are, hanging upside down, life upside down. It's glorious, isn't it? Until you realize that it's just not going to stay there. No, not at all. It's going to keep going. And then it comes down the other side and it starts to pick up momentum. And it starts to go a little faster and a little faster and a little faster until all of a sudden all your insides are on the outside. Our spiritual life is kind of like that. It's not stationary. Either our spiritual life is growing and flourishing, or it's dying. It just doesn't stand still. So as momentum builds, as you're going around and around, it is either accelerating in a positive way in a growth trajectory, or it is accelerating in a declining trajectory. So if you want to be on the growth side of this equation, and I'm trusting we all do, we want to grow in our lives as spiritual beings, then we want to see our life turn around and begin to flourish in ways in the kingdom of heaven, ways that God intends for human beings to flourish, then there is good news today. And that is that when we take personal responsibility for our own spiritual maturity, when we take responsibility, we are positioned to experience exponential growth. Isn't that good news? When we take that responsibility, we're positioned to experience exponential growth. It's the secret to this fully developed life that Jesus told his close followers. He said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The secret has been given to you. To those who are listening to my teaching, he said, more understanding will be given. So when we listen, we would get more. It grows exponentially. More maturity, more understanding is added to anyone who listens to Jesus' teachings. But here's the flip side of this. Remember, that momentum can go either way. He said, for those who are not listening, for those who aren't pursuing this flourishing spiritual life in the kingdom of God, life as God meant it, for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. This is critically important because it's a principle that involves this compounding effect. Maybe you're familiar with this. The compound effect is the idea that the effort that you put into something will not just grow by addition. Over time, it grows by multiplication. So 1 + 1 = 2, right? But 2 + 2 = 4. And 4 + 4 =, and 8 + 8 =, and then 32, and 64, and 128. You know, that little effort invested in the beginning multiplies over time, and it results in exponential growth. In 2013 and 14, the Kansas City Royals they took on a new strategy called small ball. So instead of hiring these big name hitters and first name players, the big play people, they decided that they were going to invest and focus on small methodical steps like base hits and stolen bases and sacrifice flies to get runners on base and then to move them around to home. And these small choices, game after game, eventually led to a successful result where they were in the World Series. Now, those who are growing spiritually we'll see that growth and flourishing, those small steps we take by careful listening, begin to expand and expound and multiply as the kingdom of God is revealed in us. So taking those small, intentional, spiritual steps over time end up in a big result. But But there's always that other side of the coin. Those who are not interested in kingdom things, who are not pursuing growing spiritual awareness, who aren't investing in that inner life, will experience exponential diminishing in what they once had. So they'll lose even the maturity and understanding that was once there. As Jesus followers, we have a personal responsibility for our own spiritual maturity, or lack of it. And the good news is that when we take that personal responsibility, we are positioned to experience exponential growth in the kingdom of God. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, the passage today shows us two ways to take that responsibility for our spiritual maturity. And the first way is this: listening carefully. Listening carefully. Jesus said to his followers in Mark 24, pay close attention to what you hear. Maybe this seems too simple. Pay attention. We've always heard that growing up, right? Pay attention. You're not listening. Come on, listen to what I'm saying. And you might think, yeah, I already know. But how good are we really at paying attention to what's right in front of us? Now I dare you to ask your spouse or a teacher or a friend, how well do I listen? You know, you already told them that and everybody giggled and laughed. So, you know, I dare you to truthfully ask, how well do you think I listen? And here's the amazing part. If we do the listening carefully, we discover the secrets of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about. And they're really not secrets at all. You know, secrets are something that are kept from us. But with Jesus, the secret is not a secret. It's already out there. He said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So we already have it. We already possess the seeds to this spiritual maturity and understanding. We don't have to wait, right? We don't have to climb some mountain searching for it. We don't have to go to the farthest reaches of the planet to find it. We know that the kingdom of God's secret for flourishing life is right here. We already have it. It's in us. It's in you and I. But we have to pay close attention. We have to listen carefully, or we'll miss out on developing the thriving life that's available to us. Now, the best way to listen carefully, the best way, is to take the posture of a learner. So take the posture that you are the learner. You know, one of the best ways to do that is to ask this question: help me understand. You know, I learned that phrase in talking about relational tensions and trying to navigate those things that we really don't understand. And by taking this position of a learner, we're better in a position to understand another point of view or to understand other circumstances. It helps us to discover what we don't know rather than trying to reinforce what we already think we do know. So what it takes to be that position of the learner, Jesus begins to share this. He says, listen carefully. And the outcome of this listening posture can be extremely promising. In Mark 4:24, Jesus says, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. So Jesus began this conversation with a parable about a farmer. He said the farmer goes out and plants his seed. In those days, throwing seed all over, you know, and it goes everywhere. It's just throwing. It falls on all kinds of places, in good soil, not so good soil. But it's clear the scattered seed is everywhere. And the point that Jesus is making when this parable is first being told, he's saying this to the audience, is that the kingdom of God, through the word of God, is breaking into the world in all kinds of places. It's coming in everywhere. All kinds of people are hearing the message, and his message is going to produce a harvest. So that's key, right? It's going all over. All kinds of people are hearing it, and it's going to produce a harvest. It's inevitable. Where that harvest grows, however, well, that depends. It seems to depend on whoever is carefully paying attention and listening deeply. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. A biblical commentator, Moule, he paraphrases it this way. Now think that one out for yourself. And if you can, consider it. See, both ends of this parable have this idea of listening and paying attention. And that seems to be, that idea of being alert to get to the truth. But for those who are willing to do that due diligence of seeking in this posture of being a good listener, you know, the good news is that Jesus is going to reveal the secrets. And those secrets, we remember, they're not secrets at all. It's for those who listen carefully. Mark, he continues, he says, when Jesus was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables, and he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. You see, the secret is Jesus himself. He is the one by faith that is the revelation. He's the one that helps us to understand the kingdom. He is the way and the truth and the life, the way to this flourishing life for all eternity and for right now. But whether it will or not, whether that flourishing life will take root, depends on how that truth is received. So it's clear in this parable that some will respond with deep listening, but some will not. Some will remain on the outside, but not understanding and not hearing. And here's the hard truth. God gives people a choice. You and I, we have a choice in all this. We can choose to pursue understanding and maturity, or we can choose to ignore the opportunity. Another commentator, Marshall, he writes this. He says, in teaching parables, Jesus not only invited his audience to penetrate below the surface and find that real meaning, at the same time, he allowed them the opportunity, which many took, of turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to the real point at issue. Now, if you wonder if you're lacking faith because you don't understand all of Jesus' teachings, well, I want to help us to recognize that we're all a work in progress. Even the disciples struggled. Even a pastor struggled. Yeah, even me. Jesus said to them, don't you understand? He's talking to his disciples. Don't you understand this parable? How then are you going to understand any parable? You know, we all struggle with spiritual truths at times, right? We all wrestle with the meaning of Scripture, especially when we're struggling through some kind of crisis and trying to make sense of it. We all struggle. Even when these truths seem to be handed to us in very clear ways. And that's why it's so important for us to listen carefully and become those active learners. Because the seeds have already been planted. There will be a harvest. Where that harvest grows, however, well, that depends. Jesus says, pay attention, listen deeply, because when you do, the seed in you will grow. So either our spiritual life is growing or flourishing or it is dying. There's no static point. And that momentum builds in one direction or the other. The good news is that when we take spiritual responsibility for our own maturity, we are positioned for exponential growth. So how do we take responsibility? Well, one, by listening carefully. Number two, by not waiting. Not waiting. The longer we wait, the less likely our faith will survive. That's kind of a stark warning, isn't it? If we wait to grow and mature spiritually, our opportunity to develop this thriving kingdom life in us might just pass us by. Jesus said, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. You know, that sounds like a bold, blustery northwest wind blowing in our face, doesn't it? Ouch, it's cold, it stings. It's a red flag for us to be listening today. And if we think we're fine with what we have, like growing more is really not that all important, well, then we come to this passage that suggests that if that's our attitude, we risk losing even what we already have. Cheryl has taught me how to dress for success. Now, success to me means that I don't look stupid. Things don't, you know, don't wear things that don't match. So that's success. And the way she's done that is picking out clothes for me on Sunday morning and hanging them, you know, on a hook for me. So when I wake up, there they are. It's not that I'm a slow learner. It's just that we both understand I have no fashion sense. So if I come to church wearing clothes that look normal, then she picked them out for me the night before and I put them on. So in that case, have I listened carefully to her teaching? Yes, right? Because, you know, I don't look so bad, do I? No. So Cheryl also taught me the proper way to put toilet paper on the toilet paper roll holder. Now, before we met, I had no idea there was a proper way to do that. I mean, 4 years of college, I had no idea. And then she told me that the toilet paper always rolls off the front, you know, so it comes down that way. Now, if she runs into the bathroom at that critical moment and she discovers that I not only didn't put it on the right way, I didn't put it on at all, even though I assure her I'll get to it, have I listened carefully to her teaching? No, right? And here's my point. Careful listening is active and timely listening. Careful listening isn't just hearing, it's active and timely listening. Careful listening to Jesus' teaching is not just hearing it, it's incorporating it into our lives. What we hear is being accepted and acted upon and lived out every day. It's letting that change take place in us where we begin to be transformed, where our actions and our behaviors reflect our truest humanity of who God has created us to be, remade in the image of God as full image bearers. So the careful listening that Jesus is describing here is active and timely listening. And not doing it, not applying it, not living it out, risks losing out on that thriving and unfolding kingdom life. So there's an urgency to all of this. Either our spiritual lives are growing and flourishing, or they are diminishing. Either we're gaining understanding, or we're losing what we have. We're either listening carefully and attentively and exponentially growing and thriving as more is being added to our understanding, or we're not pursuing that deeper understanding of kingdom life and living. We're not growing in our spiritual awareness and interior life. And it's causing us to maybe slowly at first, but then exponentially to experiencing a diminishing of what we once had. We gain or we lose. We become mature or we lose what we have. What is your trajectory? Are you growing or diminishing? You know, the Apostle Paul, he gives us a clear vision of a better trajectory. He says the whole gifted church, all of us together, have the responsibility to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. He says this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. In Ephesians 4, 12 through 13. So it's a picture of the whole church carefully, actively, promptly listening deeply and responding to the words Jesus taught until we all become mature, right? We're all somewhere on that journey, but we're all called to step into this thriving life that God has for us. It's this picture of being a vibrant, Christ-centered community where everyone is loved and equipped and growing and connecting all generations to Jesus. It's living into this renewed humanity, fully mature, fully alive, purposefully engaged, and expanding and flourishing in the unfolding kingdom of God. And the way to live that life is by taking personal responsibility for our spiritual growth and positioning ourselves for exponential life. And we do it by listening carefully and living out Jesus' teaching. And we do it today. We do it now. We don't wait. Now is the time to take responsibility and become spiritually mature. So I'm going to invite us right now in this moment to take that step just by faith and then commit to living that out one step as we leave. So I invite you to bow our heads in prayer. If you're online with us, join us in prayer today. Jesus, we thank you that you have given us the secret to the kingdom of heaven. That secret is life in you by faith. And Lord, following you as we deeply listen and actively walk with you. Lord, it is our hope today that we don't wait, that we want that trajectory to be towards thriving and living fully in the life of the kingdom of God, no matter what circumstances we face. And so today, if you're ready to be that active listener, then I want to, active learner, then I want to invite you to, by faith, just say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I commit to listening today. I commit to engagement, whatever that looks like for me, Lord. I commit to growing and taking responsibility. Lord, I no longer blame others for my spiritual walk, but I'm leaning into you now, Jesus, that you may teach me your way and that I may walk in your truth. So if that's you today, just say, Jesus, I'm walking with you. I'm listening. And if you're with us today and you have never quite understood what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, if you don't know what it means to have the kingdom of God within you, then the good news is that Jesus came that we may have life. He died on a cross for our sins. He shed his blood so that we could live, that we could be forgiven of all the things that we have done wrong, that God would remember our sins no more, and that we would be welcomed into the kingdom of God as little children. And so, Lord, for anyone here today, if that's you here today, who knows that need and desire to be welcomed into the kingdom, to put your faith in Jesus, just simply repeat a simple prayer like this. Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry for my sins. Wash them away by your blood shed on the cross. And fill me with your life. Fill me with that inner desire to follow you. Lord, thank you that I am your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.